Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 30th day of April 2020. Day 10 quadrillion of isolation and so on and so forth. I really do appreciate having you guys to talk to, because my cats, my kids, and my wife have had just about enough. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. Rating and reviewing on iTunes, everything that you guys do. The Patreon site is a godsend, and those of you who contribute are my heroes. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. A lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to dig deeper in because the Biden campaign is changing the talking points on the Tara Reid sexual assault allegations. Why? If the truth is on your side and that's all you ever wanted to get out there, why would you have to change talking points, Joe? Of course, Joe probably doesn't even know what's going on. He undoubtedly doesn't remember 1993. And that could be his defense in court, but we're talking about the court of public opinion. Also have new developments in the Michael Flynn case. Man, the FBI is wildly corrupt. We'll get to in a few minutes. But I want to start off with what we already knew. Congress has declared itself to be non-essential, at least the House of Representatives. The brave leadership of Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer is not so brave. It turns out. And you can't blame them. They're both like almost 80. Would you really want to be up there around people possibly getting sick? They want to live. They spent their whole lives grabbing onto this power, trying to get this power. Now they got it. They don't want to blow it by dying. Dying is for the little people. So we'll get into that in a second. But first, let me tell you about GetTheTea.com and the tea that will change your life, Life Change Tea, the appropriately named Life Change Tea. They've been with the show for a very long time, and that's because of you guys, and that is because it works. Life Change Tea, it's the tea that makes you go. It'll keep you regular. It'll get you flowing. And then, as a result of you being cleaned out by Life Change Tea, what you'll notice is you'll have more energy, more pep in your old step. That's right. I have it. It's late at night. I've got two kids that I'm chasing around all day and four cats and a whole aquarium full of fish and feeding a wife on top of it all. And yet here I am, pep in my step at this late hour. How can you do it, Derek? How do you do it? What's the secret? It's Life Change Tea. Cleans you out, lets you absorb more of the nutrition in the food that you're eating. And let's face it, we're not eating the best foods right now. You need all the nutrition you can get out of it. You go to getthetea.com. You pick your flavor. You check out all the other fine products they have and the great prices on it. You give it a shot. You can do a subscription or you can do just 1 month. It's up to you. And then you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, my name, conveniently, at checkout. Click apply, and you get free fast shipping on top of it. I've heard from so many of you that you love this stuff. And it's really made a difference in you. And I ain't lying. Don't overdo it. Follow the instructions. Don't drink the whole gallon you're going to brew up. Drink as directed and you will see a difference and you'll be regular. It's the tea that makes you go. And it's the tea that makes this show go. So Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. Okay, let's get to Congress admitting that they are non-essential. It's what we knew all along, or what we hoped. What we wished, what the founding fathers certainly would have wanted, as they set up a part-time legislature. And of course, as always happens, government grows like the freaking blob or like everybody's waistline during lockdown. Politico has the story. House drops plan to return after lawmaker backlash. Steny Hoyer said, quote, "We made a judgment that we will not come back next week, but we hope to come back very soon." Don't come back, Steny. Steny's probably cowering in his basement. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer on Tuesday announced that lawmakers won't return to Washington next week, abruptly reversing course after widespread backlash. Now, the Senate will be in session starting Monday. The Senate will do its job. Hopefully the Senate can confirm some more judges while they're in there. But you gotta love it. It's not like Senate is full of spring chickens. The House actually has younger people than the Senate does. But Democrats are afraid. More accurately, Democrats want you afraid. I'm not really sure that the House leadership is all that afraid, but they want the American people to be afraid because they can be terrorized. They can be manipulated when they're afraid. It's a big part of my book. Rational people don't act rationally when they're motivated by emotion. The sudden change, of course, comes one day after Hoyer and Speaker Nancy Pelosi had informed members on Monday that the House would come back on May 4th, the same day the Senate is slated to return. Hoyer said he and Pelosi made the decision to halt plans to return after consulting Monday evening with the Capitol's attending physician, who warned that lawmakers could be at risk given the still rising number of coronavirus cases in the D.C. area. Oh, it didn't occur to you before then? It didn't. This is such a scam. The members of Congress are afraid to come back. They don't want to come back. Look, it's not like their checks are impacted by this. They're still hammering those big fat checks, $170,000+ for each of them. All they got to do is what? Get on a video chat and teach each other how to make tuna salad sandwiches and pretend to give a damn that the American people, that their constituents are suffering economically because of this. And then they can go right back into their sweatpants and maybe field a couple of reporters' phone calls. But let's be honest. How many of these members have you heard from? There are 435 of them. You've heard of maybe 10 in the past month. Maybe 10 of them have done some kind of TV or radio. The rest of them, you couldn't pick out of a lineup. Even their own constituents have no idea who their freaking representative is. So they can just go back to bed, go back to playing PlayStation or whatever the hell it is these people do, and pretend that all is well. That check shows up every 2 weeks, whether they do anything or not. This is great for them. Not so great for the American people. But hey, what are you going to do? We can't get important things done. It's not like Nancy Pelosi would let important things get done anyway. The important things that need to be done are things she would never allow to get done. Not over my dead body, which may be why she's staying away from Washington. Quote, Nancy Pelosi told reporters, "We had no choice. If the Capitol physician recommends that we not come back, then we have to take that guidance." We have to take that guidance. Somehow the Senate is managing to do that. But of course, in managing to come back, the United States Senate is facing backlash from whiny Democrats who don't want more confirmations of Trump appointees because they're scum. They're saying, how can Mitch McConnell guarantee our safety? How do we do that? What do we do? Mitch McConnell, give us guidance. Well, you have the guidance, all right? Wear masks, wear gloves, keep away from people. You won't be able to play grab ass in the office. Don't play Biden junior staffer this week in the United States Senate, and you should probably be fine. But Democrats just don't want to come back because they don't want the Republican-led body to be seen as doing their job while the Democrat-led body is seen cowering in their basement or in front of their $24,000 refrigerator with $1,600 worth of ice cream inside. Let them eat cake, bitches. I'm going back to my mansion in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi was not quoted as saying as she hopped on her broom at Reagan Airport, heading west. This is ridiculous. She says, let's see, the physician, Dr. Brian Monahan, had previously warned members of the House Appropriations Committee that they would need to make major operational changes to their regular process, including hearings and office work, to ensure everyone's safety. Monahan said it could take years for Congress to return to normal with a full roster of staffers working together in an office at one time. Great, then let's shut down government for a couple of years. Now, what's funny about this is Democrats have done nothing but bitch, whine, and complain about what? About how the Trump administration is spending the bailout money that they've sent them. We demand to have oversight. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. Well, the easiest and most effective way to do oversight from a congressional standpoint is to hold public hearings, right? You call the witnesses, the relevant parties, before Congress. You swear them in and you get their testimony, right? Every member gets to ask their questions. You can't do hearings remotely. You can't do hearings in hiding from your basement. So if Democrats care so deeply, remember the reason that Nancy Pelosi gave for holding up the Paycheck Protection Program this last time, holding it up for 10 days, the reason that she gave was that we didn't really know how the first $350 billion was spent. We need answers and oversight on that. Well, they didn't get answers and oversight on that. They just said, here's another $300 billion. 10, I think it was, ended up being. So maybe it wasn't about that at all. Maybe it was about something else. Maybe it could be that Nancy Pelosi is a lying fraud. Who knows? Only the shadow knows. But if they care so deeply about oversight, then come back. You can hold hearings while social distancing. Hell, if you've ever watched a congressional hearing, there ain't more than five of them in a room at any given time anyway. They're all there for their opening statements and to be seen as if they care and are paying attention. And then they wander off and go do their own things, probably finger banging staffers or whatever. And then they come back in when it's their time to ask questions. And then they disappear again. They don't pay attention. They could rotate them in and out pretty easily and do the oversight they claim is so desperately needed. Unless, of course, they're lying. Steny Hoyer said the House physician's view was that there was a risk to members that one and that was one we would not recommend taking. Well, it's because far too many of them are very, very old and they don't want to die. Can't blame them for not wanting to die, but being in Congress is the job you sought. It is. What if Congress were under attack, if we were at war, would members be cowering in their basements? Or would they be expected to do their jobs and come to Washington, D.C. and declare war? I don't know. Seems to me if you run for a job that has responsibilities and those responsibilities come with some risk sometimes, you have to be willing to take that risk sometimes, I would think. But then again, I'm not a scumbag, hypocritical liberal Democrat, so what the hell do I know? I do know that grocery store clerks are expected to show up. Grocery store clerks are braver than members of Congress. Forget all the praise of doctors and nurses and the people on the front line. Truck drivers are showing up. Truck drivers are braver than members of Congress. The checkout clerks at the local drugstores and pharmacists, they're expected to show up. They're braver than members of Congress. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Little bit hypocritical. The champions of the average working man refuse to work while the average working man is required to work. Anybody seeing some hypocrisy there? Look, I get it. They don't want to be around each other. If I had to be around AOC all day long or ever, I wouldn't want to do it either. But then I'm not hammering $174,000 a year, plus having all my expenses paid, travel back and forth and all that crap and all the perks that members of Congress get. And I'm not dictating how other people should live, which is kind of an important point. It is the hypocrisy is what drives me nuts. The absolute hypocrisy. The other day, AOC tweeted about how we need to pay people more. That's the problem. That's the thing with it. She tweeted out in response to a tweet about that roughly half of U.S. workers stand to earn more in unemployment benefits than they did in their jobs before the coronavirus pandemic brought the economy to a standstill. Well, she responded to that, maybe we should pay people more. She voted for the damn bill that paid people $600 on top of unemployment insurance. She knew what she was doing. She knew what was in there. If she didn't, she's dumber than we thought. So to sit there, oh, maybe we should pay people more. Well, guess what would happen, you freaking moron? People would get an extra $600 on top of more unemployment insurance. But the idea that she would write, we should, maybe we should pay people more, is what really gets me. Maybe she ain't paying shit. At least out of her own pocket. She gets a budget for her office, and she's paying her staff out of that. It doesn't come out of her pocket. It's not like she's got this salary, and she's got to figure out how to make ends meet on that salary. She's not running a business. She's running an office, whose operating capital is provided by us, the taxpayer, not her. You can tell clearly she's incredibly stupid. She's dim. She's special, if you will. If it were up to her, she would be out of business. She would be bankrupt already if this were a small business. But because she's a member of Congress and the people of her district in the Bronx are so freaking stupid as to elect her, she said, maybe we should pay people more. Well, maybe you should listen to the people who sign the fronts of checks, you dumbass, rather than you who've spent your life and to this day still sign the backs of checks. Maybe they can't afford to pay people more, but you in your little Hitlerific Nazi fascistic ways is, well, from on high, I've just determined that you should pay your employees more. Yeah, that's a key to more unemployment. Not that she gives a damn. But anyway, that was just an aside, something that stuck in my craw because she's so freaking stupid. And she's a leader of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party stands a decent chance of winning complete power this fall. If that doesn't terrify the hell out of you, nothing will. Well, maybe government abuse will. Uh-oh, here comes Quinn. Hello, Quinn.
I love my baby Kit Kat.
Oh, yeah? Where's the X?
I gotta wait for X.
That's right. You gotta wait for the X to close the thing. Hit that X. There you go. Yeah, she's obsessed with this baby kitty cat app. Anyway, before we get into Joe Biden's latest drama, there is a new development in the saga of General Michael Flynn. It's amazing how long this has gone on, and the longer it goes on, the worse it looks for the Obama administration and the intelligence community. Remember how the mainstream media, of course, isn't interested in this, but Chuck Ross has the story. I tried to get Chuck on the show today, but he had a bunch of house things he had to do. So I'm going to have to just read you his words because he knows what he's talking about better than just about anybody who reports on this. It says FBI notes unsealed on Wednesday show that bureau officials discussed whether the goal of an interview with Michael Flynn just days into the Trump administration was, quote, to get him to lie in order to get him fired or in legal jeopardy, Flynn's lawyers say. What, quote, this is from the notes of the FBI. What is our goal? Truth, admission, or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired, question mark. An FBI official wrote in the notes according to a transcript from Flynn's attorney. Isn't that amazing? Isn't this disgusting? This is the Obama administration still. These are his people. This was what the Obama administration set in motion. Sidney Powell, Flynn's lead attorney, said Wednesday that the newly unsealed FBI document showed the FBI pre-planned a deliberate attack against Flynn. She said the records also show FBI officials intentionally avoided warning Flynn that making false statements to the FBI is a crime. This is entrapment. I don't know how you can get a more clear-cut case of entrapment. The most famous case of entrapment that I can think of off the top of my head before this one would be John DeLorean, where the FBI basically screwed him over, screwed him into a corner undercover, and then said, you know, if you move a bunch of cocaine for us, we'll get you money. And he said, okay. And then they said, oh, by the way, we're FBI agents, you're under arrest. But this has got nothing on that. U.S. Attorney Timothy Shea produced documents to Flynn's lawyers on Wednesday. They were discovered last. Isn't it amazing? Discovered. All these new documents are showing up. Can't get into Joe Biden's archives, but all these documents are just discovered. Discovered last month by the U.S. Attorney in the Eastern District of Missouri, who had been directed to review the Justice Department's handling of Flynn's prosecution. You need somebody disconnected, somebody outside of Washington, somebody outside the corrupt cesspool bubble that is Washington, D.C., to come in and take a look at this mess. Say, hey, what in the hell went on here? How do you get a three-star general pleading guilty to lying to federal prosecutors for something so ridiculously minor after you've ruined his financial life, his retirement, forced the sale of his home, and were threatening to go after his kid? That doesn't really seem kosher to me. And now they keep finding new things. What the hell took a month to turn this over? The second anything remotely exculpatory comes into the hands of prosecutors, it should immediately be turned over to the defense. That's the way it works. Otherwise, you're hiding evidence. Michael Flynn's guilty plea should be thrown out, and the people who went after him, and whoever wrote this note, and whoever this note was written to, and the people like Strzok who went and interviewed Michael Flynn to set him up in this sting, and make no mistake, it is a sting, are the ones who need to face charges. And the people who ordered them to do that, the James Comeys of the world, those smug piles of human garbage. I don't care that the human feces is piled up 6 feet, 7 inches tall. It's still human feces. It's still collecting a government pension. His ass needs to spend some of the money he's gotten from his book and from his miniseries on CBS. He needs to be forced to spend some of that on lawyers. I think a good, well, $5 million in legal fees will be a nice start to his punishment. Then we can get around to talking about how much time he has to serve for the corrupt abuses of power that he either authorized or was too damned ignorant in his job to notice were going on right under his nose. I don't think it was going on under his nose without his knowledge. I think his dirty, feces-stained fingerprints are all over this thing. We're moving closer and closer to exposing this. I just hope this stuff moves a hell of a lot faster, because it can't happen too close to the election. The Justice Department simply won't do it. And if Trump doesn't win re-election, no matter what happens, all this stuff will be dropped. The Biden administration will just say, we're moving forward, we're not looking backward. And they'll let all these people get away with it, because they would have played a major role in getting them into power. It's how the deep state works. Okay, we got to talk about the newer developments in the Joe Biden, Tara Reid saga and the scramble to pretend it's not happening by the media and the Democrats. But I repeat myself, it is amazing. No matter what comes out, they will find a way to try and discount it. The Biden campaign has their surrogates. And we have some audio from Stacey Abrams, who's I've never seen anybody so desperate to be vice president before. She started a nonprofit to be activists on some such thing. Who knows? Who cares? But she doesn't seem to want to do that job. Maybe it's not as enriching as she thought, but I bet she's raking in the dough. Definitely getting a whole bunch of that big billionaire left-wing lunatic money, because she was she lost, and she was a hero and a celebrity. So Stacey Abrams was on CNN last night. We'll get to that audio in a second. But the recent developments, the neighbor who came out and said, yes, Tara Reid told me about this at the time, that story and the phone call to Larry King by Tara Reid's mother has the Democrats in a bit of a bind, because The original story, or the original talking points were, and you'll hear Stacey Abrams give them, is that, well, the New York Times investigated this and they found nothing to it. And I'm going to stick with the New York Times. The New York Times thoroughly investigated this. Well, the New York Times didn't thoroughly investigate anything. The New York Times talked to a couple of people that Tara Reid told them about, and then they reprinted statements given to them by the Biden campaign. Pretty simple, pretty basic stuff. They didn't really bother to talk to those people themselves. But that became the gold standard for the left. The New York Times says there's nothing to these charges. Therefore, there's nothing to these charges, and we should not even bother to look into it. Moving on. Well, now, with the phone call from her mother coming out, and the next-door neighbor whom she told back in the day, the mother's deceased, but the neighbor, lifelong Democrat, still going to vote for Joe Biden, but she says, hey, I'm going to vote for Biden, I hate Trump. But she did tell me this back then, so that's kind of corroboration that is against her own interests. Just like Tara Reid is a lifelong Democrat, but the idea that these people would somehow conspire to destroy sweet, nourishing Joe Biden. The question I would have is, to what end? What are they trying to accomplish? It can't just be, I want to destroy Joe Biden. There, if it's a conspiracy, there should be a reason behind it, right? You would think, but thinking isn't really allowed in an instance like this. Thinking is, in fact, discouraged by so much of what the left does on a daily basis. So what are the new talking points now? Well, actually, let's listen to Stacey Abrams deliver these talking points last night with Don Lemon, or 2 nights ago, I guess. It was late, what day is today? Good Lord. It was late Tuesday night with Don Lemon. Now, credit to Don Lemon, I suppose, for being the person at CNN to break the hymen of this story, which is, it only took him a month or 5 or 6 weeks, a month and a half probably, but eventually somebody was bound to do some accidental journalism, if only so they could maintain cover that they do journalism still at CNN. And that person ended up being Don Lemon. I guess he drew the short end of the stick. So Don asks her about it, and listen to Don's question and Stacey's beginning of Stacey's answer, and see if you don't recognize the talking points.
Assault allegation against Joe Biden. The accuser, her name is Tara Reid, tells CNN that the alleged incident happened in 1993 while she was working as an aide in Biden's Senate office. She is claiming that she was delivering Biden a duffel bag and says that Biden had her up against the wall in a corridor on the Hill and violated her with his fingers. Now, CNN has now spoken on the record with her former neighbor, who says Reid told her about the allegation within a few years of the alleged incident. Biden's campaign says untrue, never happened. Is this a credible allegation?
I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe that they need to be listened to. But I also believe that those allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community, has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
I love that. I know Joe Biden. We served in Nam together. Oh, did you? No. How do you know Joe Biden, Stacey? How well do you know Joe Biden? You were the minority whip in the state Senate in Georgia. You get a lot of face time with the vice president of the United States in that position? I don't think so. You were the losing candidate in a gubernatorial race in Georgia. Did that get you a lot of face time with the vice president? No, it didn't. What happens is she, if anything, and I don't even know, but if anything, Joe Biden blows into town for a campaign rally that was set up by her staff and his staff. It comes in, somebody tells him where he is and what he's supposed to be doing. They go and appear on stage, maybe they attend a fundraiser, and then he blows out of town, and that's it. Is that really how you get to know somebody? I know Joe Biden. Why, we spent a good 20 minutes together backstage at a rally once. I don't think she knows Joe Biden very well. Even if she's had some phone calls since in her desperate, pathetic campaign to become his vice presidential nominee, it ain't like they served in Nam together. I bet they've never had a phone conversation that wasn't about whatever office she was running for at the time and whatever office he was running for at the time. These people are such... I know Joe Biden. That's not the Joe Biden I know. Oh, so you hang out with Joe a lot. You went trolling around for some strange with Joe. Is that what you did? No, you didn't. You've probably spent 20 minutes. I'd give her an hour with Joe Biden in her life. But somehow, and there were always other people around, but somehow, no, I know Joe Biden. And when in situations like this, we have to go by credible investigations. And the New York Times investigation found that the evidence was not credible. The New York Times story did a lot of things. What it didn't do was determine anything about the allegations. Remember that story? It was about, well, here's what she says, and here's what the people she told at the time said, and here's what the Biden campaign said. This was the story that included the line, aside from all the women he groped, grabbed, kissed, sniffed, rubbed against, we didn't find any other evidence regarding sexual assault or weird sexual stuff about Joe Biden. And then the Biden campaign contacted the New York Times and said, whoa, wait a second. Got a problem with that wording. And of course, the honest journalists at the New York Times says, well, then we'll change it right away, sir. We'll get right on that. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. To his credit, if only, I mean, like somebody had to do this. Somebody had to kind of be the sacrificial lamb over there at CNN. To his credit, Don Lemon came back. He didn't let that BS answer go, because remember, the mantra was, believe all women. The allegations are so serious, no woman would make this up. And if somebody says Brett Kavanaugh at age 15 was running gang rape parties, then by golly gosh, Joe Biden or Brett Kavanaugh at age 15 was running gang rape parties. Who are you to judge otherwise? And Christine Blasey Ford, she would never, ever lie. She just can't remember anything. So Don Lemon circles back and asks again.
So in 2018, you tweeted it was shameful that Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination was being rushed forward and survivors of violence like Christine Blasey Ford deserve to have their voices heard. Are you applying a different standard now?
Not at all. I believe then and I believe now that women deserve to be heard because too often they are not. And Tara Reid deserved to have her story listened to and investigated. What was happening to Christine Blasey Ford was that there was no investigation. There was a rush to move the conversation forward so that no investigation was conducted. And as I said, I believe that there was those allegations needed to be investigated. And I believe that the New York Times and subsequent reports support what the Biden campaign has said. And so, I believe Joe Biden.
You gotta throw in that if you're expecting to have a chance of becoming his vice presidential nominee. Except that the Blasey Ford story was thoroughly investigated by not by the New York Times, but by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Remember that? They sicked the FBI on them. And then the Democrats were saying, well, a week. They asked, please give us a week so we can investigate this. That's all we need is a week. Why wouldn't you give us a week? And they said, OK, you have a week. And the FBI went out there, and then as soon as the FBI found nothing to back it up, because Blasey Ford couldn't remember shit about it, they came back and said, a week isn't enough time. A week isn't enough time. How the hell was a week not enough time? They talked to everybody she said was there, including her close friend, her best friend at the time, who said, that didn't happen. I have no idea what you're talking about, because I think people would remember if their friend went screaming out of a party crying because, oh my God, I was just almost raped. And you go running out screaming and leave you at the party. You would remember if your friend bailed on you at a party and then was so traumatized, because you would eventually brought it up to your friend and say, hey, what the hell happened to you Saturday night? We're at this party. Next thing I know, you're gone. You left me there with five dudes who were all in the mood for some raping, apparently. You'd think that would, stick out in somebody's mind. that at least the follow-up conversation of what the hell happened to you. But no, her friend couldn't remember that, had no memory of it. There's no proof whatsoever that she ever met Brett Kavanaugh in her entire miserable life. But still the Democrats, her voice up there, I was so scared. I didn't know what happened. When did this happen? I don't know. Where did it happen? No idea. Who else was there? I'm not sure. How did you get home? No idea. Were you actually there? I don't know. That was the extent of the Kavanaugh evidence. The FBI, with all the power of the FBI unleashed, couldn't find anybody who, in a week, said, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was great. We almost all raped Blase Ford until she went screaming out of the room. Anybody believe that story? Wants to believe that story. But the New York Times regurgitates some talking points from the Biden campaign, allows the Biden campaign to edit their story. And that's a thorough investigation that has been vetted and looked at completely by the New York Times. So now I said that women have a right to be heard, says Jabba. Women have a right to be heard. Now we heard you, honey. Shut up and go back in the corner. Get in your box and shut your pie hole. Put the ball gag back in your mouth. Now, Abrams is wholly unready for the national stage and anything remotely related to scandal communications, and her hypocrisy is shining through in this one. Please let Joe Biden nominate her. They then go on. She then goes on to talk about how she believes the New York Times. Remember, the hashtag was not believe the New York Times. The hashtag was believe all women. Not believe the New York Times. So, but that's her safe space. That's the Biden safe space. They all say, well, you know, none other than the New York Times has exonerated Joe Biden. That's not what they did. But they're going to stick with it because they know the people they're saying it to are on board, are on the team. But this exchange between Lemon and Abrams continues. She just keeps looking worse.
So you said you've heard her, you've heard enough, you don't believe her, you believe Joe Biden.
No, what I'm saying is that the New York Times investigation of her allegations, the New York Times investigation does not support the accusations against the vice president. I believe the Biden I know, and I think that he will make women proud, that he will make America proud.
Again, I believe the Joe Biden who saved my life in Nam. That's the Joe Biden I believe, not some random blabbermouth liberal. I mean, she hasn't even been elected to anything. She's not even a millionaire. Why would I care about her? You got to love that. Now, the problem for Stacey Abrams and why she looks so pathetic is because she's working off the old talking points, which we'll get to in a second. She's working off talking points provided to her before the Larry King video surfaced of Tara Reid's mother calling in and alluding to the physical assault. And, you know, essentially, I think it would qualify as rape if you, you know, insert yourself, fingers, whatever, into another human being without their consent. I think that constitutes rape. But that's probably what Joe would be charged with now. Not in 1993. Back in 1993, he would have gotten high fives from Ted Kennedy and then some pointers on how to make it work next time. But Abrams then continues. The talking points are, believe the New York Times. You got to believe the New York Times. And then finally, Abrams is asked the $64,000 question. Shouldn't Joe Biden respond to this? Because it's been about 5 or 6 weeks, and Joe Biden himself has not done anything about this, not said anything about this, has pretended that it didn't exist, because, of course, he's a Democrat. He doesn't have to. The Washington Free Beacon calculated this. This is amazing. It's been 5 weeks. He's done 19 interviews, Joe Biden has. He's taken 142 questions, and there hasn't been one single answer or question in all of that. There hasn't been a mention of Tara Reid. 5 weeks, 19 interviews, 142 questions, and zip about Tara Reid. So here is Stacey Abrams again saying, Joe doesn't need to address this.
Does Joe Biden personally need to address this more directly and publicly?
I believe his campaign has been very clear, and I believe that that is the approach that they intend to take. And I support the approach because, again, we don't want women to ever be afraid to come forward. But we also have to recognize that allegations should be investigated and that those investigations need to be borne out.
That's a hell of a dodge. Well, no, no, I don't. Look, women need to be heard and then they need to shut the hell up and get off the stage if they're talking about Democrats. They must be protected. And again, the New York Times, quote unquote, investigation consisted of talking to Reed and two people she told at the time and then reprinting stories and statements, actually not even statements, statements from Biden staffers provided to them by the Biden campaign. That is, that's amazing journalism right there. That's the investigation. Well, now they're kind of facing, shall we say, some blowback because Stacey Abrams was working off of old talking points. And people who know the story noticed, hey, wait a second. She's not addressing the mother's phone call. She's not addressing the neighbor who is a Democrat and another friend at the time who is a Democrat whom she both told at the time. Both people are on record, right? So they've come out with new talking points. Jennifer Epstein, who writes for Bloomberg News, she tweeted out, the Biden campaign sent another set of talking points on Tara Reid to surrogates this week as new details emerge and Dems grapple with how to handle the accusations. Campaign says Larry King video does not corroborate assault claims. That's lovely. Oh, just because maybe her mother was talking about another senator. How many kids did she have in the first place? Anyway, not a very convincing defense, but when you're desperate, you'll grab onto anything. But I love how the framing is as Democrats grapple with how to deal with this. Democrats grapple. Oh, those poor Democrats, they're just, you know, Joe Biden grappling with Tara Reid is kind of how he got into this mess in the first place, isn't it? Am I wrong? Is that in poor taste? I don't care. I'm starting to believe Tara Reid, because if somebody accused me of anything remotely close to this and I didn't do it, I'd be out there. You wouldn't be able to shut me up. My lawyers would be telling you, hey, you know, we got to play this safe. The campaign consultants, we got to hope this goes away. I got to go. No, I am going out there. I am not going to let my name be sullied like this. I did not do this. And this is asinine and I will not stand for it. Joe Biden sitting there in a haze going, eh, well, what are you going to do? Somebody says I should ignore it. We should just ignore it. We should do our little town hall with Hillary Clinton on women's issues and not address the woman accusing me of sexual assault. And he went along with it because either Joe Biden isn't all there, which is highly probable, or he did it, which is also becoming more and more probable. So maybe it's actually a combination of the two. So what are these new talking points put out by the Biden campaign? Well, Jennifer Epstein at Bloomberg reports they are, here's what you're supposed to say. And you can hear echoes of this in Stacey Abrams, at least some of this in Stacey Abrams' exchange. First point, all women have a right to be heard and heard respectfully, and the independent press has the obligation to review those claims. First off, where does any campaign get off telling the media what to do? Remember? Donald Trump says, oh, the enemy of the people, the free press, the fake news, terrible fake news, enemy of the people. And immediately all the media says, you don't get to tell us what to do. We're not going to listen to you. And how dare you call us enemy of the people? Joe Biden's campaign comes out and says, you have an obligation to do something. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll do this. And of course, they're not really going to vet it. But I love the right to be heard and the right to be heard respectfully. Just 2 years ago, it was the women have the right to be believed. Remember that? It wasn't hashtag hear all women. It was hashtag believe all women. Remember idiot Senator Mazie Hirono in her five-year-old's voice going, women have a right to be heard and a right to be believed in her Senate press conference. God, Hawaii. Can you either elect somebody who isn't a moron or just sink into the ocean? One of the two. I'd be fine with either one. The next talking point from the Biden campaign. From the beginning, the Biden campaign has not only been open to, but urged news outlets to rigorously investigate these claims. That's BS. That's garbage. The media did not ignore this story for a month because the Biden campaign was urging them to investigate it. Next, in the time since, nearly every major reputable news organization has done just that and been unable to corroborate Ms. Reed's claims. That is not true as well, but again, it's a weird case to make. Well, if you can't prove it, to hell with you, screw you, and you just got to deal with it. You got to accept the fact that this didn't happen. That standard decidedly has never applied to anybody who wasn't a Democrat. And besides, every reputable news organization, you got to love that reputable news organization, which is, of course, code for people on our team, people on our side. The New York Times, the Washington Post, and Associated Press spent weeks doing extensive investigative research into Ms. Reed's claims and found no other allegations of sexual assault, no pattern of sexual misconduct, and no former Biden staff members corroborated any key details of Ms. Reed's allegations. The New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Associated Press, their investigation was so thorough that they couldn't find a clip from Larry King Live in 1993. Tara Reid even told them August of 1993. She didn't know the day. She knew the month. She knew the year. Again, which is still a hell of a lot more information than Christine Blasey Ford had. And they couldn't find it. The Media Research Center managed to find it. The Media Research Center wasn't digging through, listening for random calls from mothers talking about how their daughters may have been assaulted by senators. They knew when to look and what to look for. Why? Because they listened to Tara Reid talk. These so-called news outlets couldn't be bothered to do that. They have, I guarantee you, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Associated Press have more resources than the Media Research Center does. The Media Research Center has archives, but the Larry King archives are online. You can watch all, well, actually, you can't anymore for some weird reason. Google Play decided that the one episode where Tara Reid's mother called in to talk about Joe Biden's dropping a digit on their daughter, that one has been removed by Google with no explanation, because being Google means you don't have to explain anything to anybody. But again, the Washington Post is owned by the richest man on the planet, perhaps in the history of the planet. You're telling me that they couldn't dispatch a couple of reporters to dig through the archives of August 1993 of the Larry King Live to see if maybe somebody's mom called in and talked about or alluded to some kind of sexual assault? I ain't buying it. But the Biden campaign has declared that this has been thoroughly, thoroughly investigated, and in that, is therefore no reason to investigate anymore whatsoever. Because what? Because a whole bunch of other people haven't come forward and said, yeah, Joe Biden shoved his hand inside me as well. Maybe Joe Biden put the moves on other women and it worked, and they're not particularly proud of having banged Joe Biden. You ever think of that? Next, the Larry King clip does not corroborate Ms. Reed's recent claims. In fact, it raises new questions about her account. Wait a second. You're questioning this woman, this victim? You're not supposed to question victims. The woman caller says her daughter respected the senator, but was unhappy in the office. Comments that track closely with what Tara Reid herself told the Washington Post earlier this year about her, how her issue was with the office, not the senator. It does not name Biden, nor does it cite sexual assault or harassment. Again, we are told that women wait years to tell their stories when it's against a conservative. Why? Because they're so traumatized by this that they really have to, dare I say, grapple with the gravity of what they're asserting. what they're going to do. Are they ready to deal with that as they grapple? But now we're told, hey, look, this broad didn't bring this up before. Hey, this broad didn't do this. This broad didn't do that. She has produced 5 contemporaneous witnesses. And the Biden campaign is saying, look, she shouldn't have said something. Should have said something else. What are you going to do? There's a simple way, by the way. And by the way, if her mother calls up and says, Joe Biden tried to rape my daughter on Larry King Live, she would have been dumped as quickly as she dialed the phone. Also, she would have violated her daughter's trust. Her daughter clearly told her, look, I don't want to press charge. I don't want to bring this up. I don't know what to do. Just, you know, I don't want people to know. It just bothers me that don't, you know, mom, I'm telling you this in confidence. The mother would have had to have betrayed her daughter's trust. Her mother's not going to betray her daughter's trust. And the Biden campaign knows that. They're exploiting it because they're scum. Their last point. Biden is a fierce advocate for women, authored and fought to pass the Violence Against Women Act, and launching a campaign to end sexual assault on college campuses. He has spent his life fighting to end abuses of power against women and using his voice to advocate for women across the country and around the world. Ooh, you know what? Feminists love the things Bill Clinton did as governor of Arkansas and the things he was saying he was going to do as president of the United States, too. That doesn't mean he didn't, you know, use Monica Lewinsky as a receptacle and all the other women. They were fine with it. The feminists said, well, if he keeps abortion legal, I'll do what Monica did to him. That's who they are. That's what the left is. So having a track record, being a public advocate for the liberal agenda doesn't make you a scumbag. There was no greater champion of women's rights than Ted Kennedy. Okay. Ted Kennedy also sexually assaulted a waitress along with Senator Chris Dodd, who now heads up the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA. I encourage you to look up Ted Kennedy waitress sandwich and see what Ted and Chris did to a poor waitress who was working at a place called La Brasserie back in the late 80s and early 90s, whenever it was. They essentially dry hump raped her, groping her in full view of a bunch of people. Why? Because you could get away with that stuff then. Now you can't get away with that stuff in public, but you can get away with that stuff in private. That Joe Biden wasn't the pro that Ted Kennedy and Chris Dodd were is not a surprise, is not a shock. But that he would try something hackish and amateurish and like shoving a staffer against the wall and saying, hey, man, I thought you liked me as he digitally invades her, shouldn't come as a shock to anybody who knows the arrogance of power, because that's what power is. Maybe Joe wasn't very good at it. Maybe Joe got better at it. Maybe he just misread the situation with Tara. I don't know. But his unwillingness to talk about it and his outrage and these new talking points make me think that there is something to this. Because what you're not really seeing in these talking points is a straight up denial from Joe Biden. Did you notice that in the talking points? Yeah, you got to hear the women out. Hear them out respectfully, but don't believe them. Whatever. The press has investigated this. They found nothing. The Post, the Times, the Associated Press, they didn't find anything. The Larry King clip doesn't mean jack. In fact, she doesn't even talk about her daughter being finger banged against her will in the Senate. And by the way, Larry has been an advocate for women. So maybe she just needs to shut the hell up and go away. None of these talking points say Joe Biden absolutely unequivocally did not do this. Joe Biden did not, would not ever, could not ever, should not ever, will not, make it sound like a Dr. Seuss freaking poem or something. But there is nothing in there that says Joe Biden says he absolutely positively did not do this. Why? Because A, Joe Biden hasn't been asked about it. B, Joe Biden is afraid to go on record of this. There is a simple way for Joe Biden to handle this, by the way. His records are being held by the University of Delaware. Yeah, I know. Delaware has a university. I didn't know it either. You wouldn't know it by the people they elect. But they have his Senate papers. They have all of them. And there is quite a bit of those papers. It's actually huge. 1,875 boxes of documents and 415 gigabytes of electronic records. Somewhere in there could be buried Tara Reid's personnel file. And if she left under circumstances where she said anything remotely to, I am not feeling comfortable, or whatever the reason is, it would be in those records. Those records are curiously sealed. Now, they're not sealed by law. They're sealed by agreement. Joe Biden donated his records to the University of Delaware on a very specific condition, which is a little bit odd, I think, that his records remain sealed. No one has access to them until 2 years after he leaves public life. 2 years after he leaves public life. Now, theoretically, they should have been released in 2019. He didn't announce, but they would have been, but he announced that he was running for president. If Joe has his way, he will win the presidency, and then the clock starts again, and they wouldn't be unsealed until 2026, 27, actually, at the earliest. If he wins a second term, if he lives long enough to win a second term, then he would likely not live long enough to ever see his records unsealed. Now, if you're proud of your record as a United States senator, as a public servant, why would you order your records sealed for 2 years, until after 2 years that you leave public life, when you're approaching 80 and you probably won't be around to leave public life for 2 years? You do it because, I don't know, you're hiding something maybe? Just spitballing here. But if there could be something, just as there could be something in these documents to damn Joe Biden, there could be something in these documents to exonerate Joe Biden. The Biden campaign itself alluded to it about her exit interview. You know, that last, she didn't ever mentioned, ever said anything about this to anybody. She said that she had problems with the office, not with Senator Biden, according to her mother on Larry King Live, which isn't what happened, but they're bastardizing it. This could all be cleared up by Joe Biden signing a waiver saying, all right, go ahead, open up my archives. Go ahead, take a look. He hasn't. He won't. That's something, isn't it? Isn't that bizarre? It's a weird condition to put on something, and it's a weird condition to maintain in the face of this. Now, keep this in mind as Democrats continue to whine about how Donald Trump's taxes, he won't let us see his taxes. Why, he won't let us see his taxes. What is he trying to hide? Joe Biden won't let us see 40 years of papers. He won't let us see 40 years of his Senate record if he's proud of the public service he has conducted over the course of his career. Why would he hide it? Kind of curious, at least to me, but that's just me. I could be wrong, but I'm not. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend. The website, thanks to the new Patreon people. The website is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Thanks to all of you in there. Thanks to you for rating and reviewing on iTunes and all that good stuff. We're growing because of you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, we are going to talk about how we actually restart the economy. I have an expert lined up. I'm not going to jinx it by saying who it is, but we have an expert lined up how we're going to get out of this mess as states start to reopen, as the economy tries to get turning over again. What can we do? How best can government get the hell out of the way? And can government help in any way? We'll get to all of that tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday already. Again, doesn't matter, but the weekend's coming. Have yourself a merry little Christmas and a good Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow.
I believe Joe Biden.